It's time for Teach Me What You Know. Each week we learn something new from experts around the world. Last week we found out how to explore a new city from a travel expert. This week we've got a physical therapy expert with us to teach us how to sit. Evan Johnson joins us now. He's an assistant professor and director of physical therapy at the Spine Center at the Columbia University Medical Center. Evan, welcome to the show.
Hi, Rob. Thanks for having me.
Well, why is our posture when we're sitting so important?
You know, posture bears on so much of what we do and how we feel. What's important about it is to distribute stressors amongst the spine and posture in terms of how we sit and how we face the computer and how we interact with our environment so that we can be comfortable in life and not cause excessive strain.
Are we getting worse with our technology? And I'll say, you know, as I research this story, I'm kind of hunched in over my computer, maybe taking time to lean into my cell phone and text somebody. Are we worse thanks to our technology?
Indeed, we're worse. And it's not so much that any given posture is worse, but we tend to sustain it longer and repeat our tasks over and over again. So it's not just the posture that we're in and that we move through, but the postures we assume and stay in for long periods. And so in as much as we're sitting at a desk and sitting at a computer and sitting in front of iPhones and tablets, even when we're not at a computer, we are in repeating the task and the postures over and over again.
You know, I had thought of the physical impact of maintaining bad seated posture for a long time. You say, I gather, it means more than that. It has an emotional and maybe even a social impact in our lives.
Oh, indeed it does. And it comes from also emotional and social sources as well. If you think about, you know, an individual, maybe a young woman who develops early in life and kind of hides herself and then crunches up a little bit because she's embarrassed or she's aware of attention she's receiving, or the response that we have to stress. When there's stress in our life, we tend to bring our shoulders together and kind of cover our throats a little bit, jut our chins forward. So it interacts very much with how we feel and also how the world perceives us.
Well, let's get to, that's the why. Let's get to some of the how now. What are the nuts and bolts? How do we assess our seated posture and figure out if we're doing it right?
Oh, that's a great question. So basically, we're looking for balance, and we're looking for balance in terms of static postures, how we're sitting and how we're leaning and so forth, but also dynamic postures. So to the extent that as we're seated, where we have the kind of natural curves in our spine, is that there's a slight curve forward in the low back and a slight curve backwards in the middle to upper back, and a slight curve forward in the neck. And that balances us so our ears are placed over our shoulders and our shoulders are placed over our hips. So as a starter, that's a great position to be in as you work at your computer. Thinking about where the monitor is placed, if I have the monitor very low, I'm going to tend to look down and forward, or holding a tablet, of course, or an iPhone or some other mobile device, looking down and forward into my hand. So putting the device or the computer or the screen or whatever we're working with in a position where we can adopt a balanced posture as we look at it. And that's true even in terms of our seating posture. It's ideal to sit with the hips slightly higher than the knees, and the keyboard tray or the device that we're working with should be placed in such a position that we don't have to reach too far forward for it, right, or neither too far down or too far up.
So the answer is not sit ramrod straight.
It's not. Although, you know, sitting upright is positive, it's kind of an ideal reference point. But the real answer is variety. You know, changing postures, moving dynamically. What evolution's really prepared us to do is to be active in life. And so there is this ideal reference point with these slight curves and this kind of balanced posture. I often refer to it, I think of it as like a string of beads. If you pick up a string of beads, the beads will fall in sequence underneath each other. That's how the spine behaves very much. If we're lifted up through our body somewhat and the trunk is lifted out of the pelvis, you'll see this alignment that occurs naturally. But just as important is to be dynamically mobile. NIOSH, the National Institute of Occupational Safety and Health, recommends frequent breaks. As a matter of fact, adding 4 5-minute breaks throughout your day can very much change our experience of the pain that we feel in our joints and our neck and our upper back.
Well, I'll confess to most of the sins you've described here. I'm, you know, here at work, I'll zone in on something on the computer and realize I haven't moved in a long time. I'm perfectly capable of being addicted to a computer game, and I won't say how long I might go without moving then. How can we set ourselves to trigger that break you just mentioned, that it's time to get up and move?
That's a great question. And like a lot of things, like diet and other things in our life, there's a certain vigilance we have to keep. So there are some programs that are available that will flit across your computer screen and remind you to move or to stretch or to get up. There are new posture devices that one can connect to your spine or your trunk that vibrate if you alter your posture too much or you stay in the same posture for too long, they'll vibrate on your skin, or they'll alert an app on your phone or your mobile device and tell you, oh, it's time that you move again, or look at where your posture is. So technology is now starting to monitor technology to some extent. But really the best solution is just kind of an awareness of how am I feeling at any given moment, and maybe I should move again, redistribute the fluids in the disc, redistribute the tension on my muscles. So ideally, it's just the awareness and the vigilance.
So that's while we're seated at the desk or slumped over with our tablet or whatever. Are there warning signs we might watch out for? What kind of aches and pains might be a clue that we need to address our seated behavior?
Sure. I would say very much the extent to which you're seated and why you're seated, you have a repetitive feeling or repetitive injury that occurs. So you notice after you're sitting at your computer for 2-3 hours, you notice, you know, twice during the same week that you start getting a pain towards your elbow, or you start getting a pain in the back of your neck, or you start getting that nagging ache in your buttock, right? That's a sign. If that happens, and it happens 2 or 3 times in a week, that's a sign that you've really been sitting too long and you have to think about changing your behavior. The other one would be if you start getting pain down the legs or into the fingertips, that's often a sign of a pinched nerve. Pinched nerve in the neck will cause pain into the hands, or in the back will cause pain into the legs. And that's telling you it's really time to move and to be active and get out of your seat.
I know as part of your daily gig, you watch people who have had spinal surgery or have serious problems, but you watch them. You watch for warning signs of bad posture-related behavior. What tips you off when they're in your office?
Sure. Well, some of the things that tip you off is right away as they're sitting, if they move into a posture, that kind of slouch posture, the behind turns under, and the back is in a big C-curve and slouched into the chair, and the head starts to jut forward right away, and they stay there, and they remain there as you're interviewing them or as you see them sitting in the waiting room. Right away, that tips you off. Then you see the kind of rubbing the neck, right? Or you see a little, lifting of the buttock. They kind of shift their weight onto one sit bone, off the sit bone. All of that tells you that there are areas of pressure and areas of discomfort that they're trying to avoid.
Now, you mentioned a couple technological tips, reminders that give us messages to get up and move from time to time. Are there simple things we can do with, pillows or braces or those weird things people put on their necks on airplanes? Is any of that helpful?
Sure, it is helpful. Braces may be less so in kind of very common usage, although there's places for them with specific injuries, but more to the extent would be how do you maintain that balance that we mentioned. So typical lumbar cushions, which are available all over the place, pretty much at every drugstore online, they're just small cushions that fit into the small of your back and help you keep an arch in your back. Those are wonderful. The pillows that fill the small arch forward in your neck that you use on an airplane are also fine, but you don't even need to bring a pillow. You could take a small towel, or you could take your sweatshirt and you can roll it up. But again, as much as those things are important, variety is so important. So being in a position maybe on the aisle seat or a bulkhead or somewhere you can shift around, move your legs, get up. Even if you stand up at your desk, you stand up and you look at your computer screen for 15 seconds and walk around your desk and sit back down, you've changed the tension on the muscles and you've redistributed fluid and tissues in your body, and it's a very healthy thing to do.
Now, generations of children have grown up with the message, don't slouch while sitting or standing, I guess. Obviously, that hasn't gotten through to all of us. What are good ways to communicate to kids the importance of paying attention to their posture?
Great question. With two adolescent boys who are, somewhat slightly addicted to all kinds of technology, it's a question I face in my personal life as well as professional life. The question is, how do you convince somebody, how do you show them a rationale that it matters? Sometimes the best way is to appeal to vanity. Sometimes the sense of getting, of saying, oh, look how you look. If a young person's at a school dance, right, they're not going to slouch if they want to be attractive to the person next to them or someone across the way. They'll sit up, they'll present a certain way. So sometimes just kind of showing them a picture of how they look, right, or putting a small mirror on your monitor so they can see themselves, right? Little things like that.
But so you're trying to make your teenagers more self-conscious?
Oh, indeed. without criticizing their body image, okay, which is a fair question. But the consciousness about posture, that's a way to attempt it. And honestly, it's not an easy task to convince someone who's not in pain that they should change their posture because someday they may be in pain. It's kind of like telling somebody, if you eat certain foods, you may someday have hypercholesterol and it'll mean that you have heart disease. It's a hard thing to convey unless it's kind of a national message that we convey.
Well, sell us on it. Give us a message of how much better our lives will be in the short and long run if we do start taking this seriously and not sitting stock still in bad posture for hours on end.
I think that's a great question. You know, as we're staying active as a society, we're living longer, we're active as we're older. I see compilations of all kinds of musculoskeletal conditions that really take away the quality of life for individuals, and you see them as early as middle age or in young people. And so the idea is, if you're vibrant and you're active and your body projects good health through good posture, it's just a quality of life issue, and you'll end up less likely to have all kinds of conditions.
And we're hearing a lot of studies saying overall we should be sitting less than we do. That's important too?
Indeed, sitting less and moving more. So even if we sit, getting up frequently, moving more, and be having more dynamic lives, there are also things like desks that go up and down, right? Hydraulic desks where you can stand at work and sit at work, or laptops that attach to treadmills. There's a million technological advances, but if we move our bodies, which is what we've been designed to do over millions of years of tailoring, if we move our bodies, then essentially we're staying healthier.
Evan, thanks so much. And even before this interview, I've tried to start doing the things you're recommending. So thanks for the advice.
Thank you, Rob.
That's Evan Johnson. He's assistant professor and director of physical therapy at the Spine Center in the Columbia University Medical Center. And this week's Teach Me What You Know, he taught us how to sit.